the virtues, where the Holy Spirit infused into our souls, and we've been baptized. We meditated on the virtue of faith, and now the virtue of hope. However, I would like to revise the title and see what to reflect on the virtue of confidence. I doubt if there's any virtue a more desperate need in our day than confidence. The reason is obvious. There is so much going on in the modern world to discourage even the most hardy souls. Lord, we are tempted to ask Him, what will happen next? As one bishop wrote to me, quoting the prayer that he regularly addresses to God, Lord, how long? Oh Lord, how long? The confidence of many once staunchly believing Catholics has been shaken. We live in that period of history, and the propaganda against Christ and His followers has never been more virulent, more incessant, and more demonically successful. Never in the history of Christianity have more bishops, priests, religious, and the professed Catholics left the Catholic Church than in the 20th century. Never before. The statistics for our own country, highly publicized, indicate that in our country, more than one out of two marriages breaks down. Then we look at our own lives. We all make compromises with what we know has been God's will in our lives. We want to be accepted by the culture in which we live. We want, what else? But to be loved by those whom we love. Oh, how cheap words can be. How hard it is to live up to Christ's mandate. The one who does the will of my Father, says Jesus, he is the one who loves me. Naturally, you're afraid. Afraid for ourselves, afraid for the church, and afraid for the future. Is it any wonder that all the modern popes, but especially our present Holy Father, remember, tells us, do not be afraid. We should begin by asking ourselves, what is confidence? Remember, our object of reflections in this meditation is hope. What is hope? Hope is the assured desire we shall obtain what God has promised us. Trust in the real life that we have. Trusting that God will come through and give us what He promised. In the strict theological sense, we hope to obtain what God has promised. We trust God because we know He loves us. And then confidence is a result of both hope and trust. Confidence is a peace of heart that comes from the security, which is the result of having an assured hope and a firm trust in God. We can have confidence only if we first trust, and then trusting, have hope. And let's be clear. We trust in God, have a hope in His promises, only in the measure that we believe in God. Faith is not just the measure of our trust. It is the foundation of our trust. Only believers can have hope. Only believers can trust. Only believers can have confidence. When then we speak of having confidence, or of confidence being so important, we mean a confidence that comes from trusting in God because we believe in His love. Oh, but dear Lord, how we are tempted to tell You, if only You did not try and test our love of You. And as we are saying, and will continue until the last minutes of this retreat, it is the trials in our lives, the hardships, the pain, the suffering. In one single word, it is the cross. But unless our faith is very strong, tends to weaken our trust in God and our corresponding hope that we shall obtain from Him whom we profess to believe in. But hear it. This God whom we believe in is a testing God. Dare I use the word? This God we believe in is a trying God. Our focus in this meditation is on confidence as the fruit of the virtue of hope. It is remarkable how easily and spontaneously people look elsewhere to get that security of soul which is confidence. My favorite definition of confidence, security of soul. We're then looking for that security in one place. You'll know their confidence will not be betrayed. Namely, no wonder you can distrust anybody and everybody, but in His name, we dare not. distrust God. We live on promises. Our lives are built on hope. A hopeless life, well, I know, is a faithless life. In our hope, or the security of soul which follows from hope, our confidence depends on the strength of our faith. And our faith today is being tried and tested. I see this with complete certitude, as never before in the 20 centuries of Christianity. The more we know about our own country, the more we know what was going on in the Catholic Church. My 31st year in working for the Holy See, how I need to rely on my faith. Faith to provide me with a foundation for my hope, and my hope provide me with the security that I want to have for the future, which is, as we are saying, confidence. The trouble is, unless we are careful, we shall depend on the wrong persons to keep their promises, and the wrong object to fulfill our hopes. Dare I say it? When I pronounced my final vows as a member of the Society of Jesus, February the 2nd, 1953. Well, 45 years ago, never did I dream that my trust, my confidence, and the society which I had joined would be so tested and tried. Never. You don't lose that the Society of Jesus has lost 15,000 members since the Second Vatican Council. You don't see one after another of our once Jesuit college and universities becoming citadels of heterodoxy and hostility to the Vicar of Christ. You don't get told, it may be the first time I'm saying this, you want to strengthen your own confidence in God. John, I've been told by my superiors, you no longer take your theology. I'm living in Detroit because I was removed from the five institutions that I was teaching: New York, Washington, Philadelphia, and Chicago. I assure you, you need a strong, deep, unwavering confidence in God. I need it. Who would not have chosen this meditation? Led with God's grace, I've been trying to live out my trust in God and consequent confidence in His goodness. Hear it. I'm not plagiarizing. This is my own, well, once published manuscript to refresh my memory. It's all inside, but helps to see something, to remind myself what I wrote. Just as there were no unbelievers in the world, hear it? No unbelievers in the world, except, of course, in mental institutions. Over the years, I think I've said more than once, I don't quite like Aristotle's definition of man. Man, says Aristotle, is a rational animal. I have met too many irrational people. I prefer man as a believing animal. Every rational human being believes. The question is, whom does he believe? St. John's question, unanswerable. How is it, the evangelist asks, that people are so ready, so prompt to believe in other human beings and so slow to believe in God? So correspondingly, there is no one who does not trust. But as with faith, the question is, whom do you trust in? What a safe statement, not everyone trusts in God. Let me be as plain as I can. It is not hope alone that will give us peace. And how we want, how desperately we need peace of heart, peace of mind. The lowest figure published by the pharmacy companies is 70 million Americans surviving in some peace of mind by using medically prescribed tranquilizers. How is it there are so many people who are worried, anxious, discouraged, despairing, because they have lost their confidence or trust by the mistake they've made? And the one mistake I'm asking our Lord here and expose to give all of us is not just to trust in God, but grow, deepen, grow in our trust in Him. Whatever else you do during this retreat, I beg you, Examine your consciences. Ask yourselves. And here are all the same. As I've said so often, whatever retreat I give, I honestly believe there is no one to whom I'm speaking who needs the retreat more than I do. Find out during this retreat, what is it that worries me? What makes me discouraged, despondent? What makes me anxious? Our Lord could not have been clearer, could not have been stronger. He tells us to trust Him, but get the object of that verb, trust Him. It is not, believe me, trusting ourselves. We've disappointed ourselves too often. Or even trusting other human beings. Of course we trust them, but always, always conditionally. There's only one being in existence whom we should trust and that we have confidence in unconditionally, and that is the living God. Says our Lord, take the birds of the air. The Lord provides for their food. What are we worrying about? But as we said regarding faith, so hope, or the security that hope gives us, confidence, is conditional. Our confidence will be only as strong, number one, as our faith in God's love, and then the end, in God's loving mercy, is unquestioning. I have assisted too many people on their deathbed as a priest not to know some very good people, having lived what in my estimation were holy lives, how the devil tempts them to discouragement, anxiety, as they are facing eternity. Our confidence will first of all depend on our strong faith in a merciful God. Again, our confidence will depend on our controlling our thoughts. The foundation of a holy life is a controlled mind. Have you been saying, our wills by themselves are blind faculties? They need the mind to enlighten them. But these minds of ours, I'm not exaggerating, they can be jungles of wild beasts. We will have only as much confidence in God as we control our thoughts. Dare I say it? We have thoughts, and the moment they come into our minds, they should be removed. I'll keep saying this until the last meditation. The most important single function of our free will is to master our thoughts. What we think, we desire. What we desire, we choose. What we choose, we love. What we love shapes our character in this world and our destiny in the world to come. And of course, our thoughts are determined by the sense experiences that we have. This means if we're going to maintain a strong confidence in God, we do not allow our minds to have real discouraging thoughts. All you've got to do is read. I'm in Chicago, the Chicago Tribune, faithfully, every day. Detroit, the Detroit News. New York, New York Times. Our media specialize in it. They specialize in things that will be shocking, disturbing, and consequently causing disturbance, anxiety, and even despair. Over the years, I don't know how many times I've told some of you, quoting Marshall McLuhan, the great modern philosopher of the modern media. Said McLuhan, the modern media are engaged in Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. That is why you've got to, every one of you, examine your consciences on what kind of thoughts will enter your minds. What do you read? What do you watch? What do you listen to? Whom do you talk with? And the devil wants nothing more than to make us worried, discouraged, and induce despair. Listen. There are two kinds of temptations to which we are all subject. There are temptations that we should immediately discard. There are temptations we should resist. The temptation we should immediately discard, and I'm speaking, I trust, to the white audience, are temptations to worry, anxiety. These are the devil's favorite, patented in hell, temptation against those who want to do God's will, to discourage them. He knows demonically well though they're trying to serve God faithfully, he will attempt, and I repeat, to worry, anxiety, so that they will give up. I know the Holy Father personally. I gave a 3-day series of lectures in this country. Community of Polish nuns worked for the Holy Father. care of all his domestic work, and by the way, make sure that his food is not toxic. Take care of his correspondence. And they share with me, because they know the Holy Father so well, the one virtue he wants to get across to the believing Catholic bishops, priests, religious, and the laity. His trust, confidence. But we've got to do our part. Allow ourselves to be seduced by the evil spirit who is using the media of this world to discourage people to despair. I have a paragraph here that I think I should paraphrase for you. Human beings are fickle, changeable, unstable. In a word, they are unpredictable. You just cannot depend on people. Not even, I repeat, on that one person whom you know you want to trust the most, who not coincidentally has your name. You will think, after all these years of experience, having been so often disappointed, we would have enough sense to have learned the one lesson we had all learned. There is no one, and the word is no one, we can trust absolutely. Period. No one, exclamation mark. Except whom? No one but God. That's all the virtue of hope is about. But is that ever plenty? And notice, it is not only absolute trust in God, it is of absolute confidence in Him. Why? How I need what I'm telling you. Because only God really knows the future. And faith tells us our future, our next minute, our next day, our next year, is completely in the hands of God. God does not make the future to happen. Remember, we've said the verb to happen is a pagan verb. Nothing ever happens. Everything is in the hands of God. Only He, the adverb is your faith and mine, only God knows what is best for us. He knows far better than we what we need. And why should we be afraid? The reason we're so fearful is because we understandably distrust ourselves and distrust other human beings. So ask the next question. Why is only confidence in God absolutely sure not to disappoint us? Because no one else but He is able to do what needs to be done. change what needs to be changed. I've mentioned the word miracle at least once or twice so far in the retreat. We'll keep coming back. God became man to prove his divinity by working miracles. Calming the storm at sea, restoring sight to the blind, raising Lazarus from the dead. Says St. Augustine, it is a greater miracle to convert a stubborn sinner than to raise a dead Lazarus back to life. And this Jesus Christ, that's why the Blessed Sacrament is here exposed. This Jesus Christ, the same, identical Christ the miracle worker, who performed so many wonders during his visible stay on earth, is on earth, and on earth why? To work miracles. Do you hear me? I did not believe in Christ the miracle worker living on earth. We either have lost my mind long ago or been 6 feet underground. My father died when he was 27. My mother died when she was 63. And here I am. The Feast of Lady of Mount Carmel. 84 years and 28 days old. I like to say this. Mother Teresa was 84. Somebody asked her, Mother, how old are you? She said, 84 on the outside, 18 on the inside. That's me. Someone in this universe must be able to meet our needs. And by now we know both ourselves and others to know there is no human being who can meet our needs except the living God who became man out of love for us to teach us how we need to trust him. I'm not finished yet. This conference of ours, which is the experience of our virtue of hope, this conference will not be disappointed, because only God really loves us so much. He is willing to take care of us down to the smallest detail. There are no trifles in God's providence. Nothing, and the word is nothing, is unimportant in the mind of God, who only he is so good, even though we've done so much that is wrong against him. This may be the one reason I've counseled too many souls why they do not trust God enough. They are afraid of him. Before this retreat is over, we will spend some time in speaking about the seventh gift of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord. Well, there's not to be a craven fear. We should tell him, Lord, you know me and you probe me. But you love me. And you gave me the incredible statement, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner doing penance over 99 who are just. Remember the words of our Lord to St. Peter after Christ's resurrection. The disciples have been fishing all night, and they caught nothing. I've been told, by the way, by fishermen, you don't have to catch fish to be fishing. Well, you know what happened. Early at dawn, our Lord was standing on the shore. John recognized him. He said, it's my master. You know what Peter did? He jumped in the water and swam to shore. The same John who identified Jesus writes, not far from shore, no big swimmer was Peter. Then after the meal, Christ made sure everybody was, well, fully satisfied, took Peter aside. Then asked him, didn't even call him Peter. Peter means rock. And Simon, son of John, was no Peter. He was no rock. He was a bragging, loud-mouthed coward. Jesus asked him, Simon, do you love me more than these do? A 100 lessons are implied in that question of Jesus. But for our purpose, Christ is asking us, do you, calling us by name, do you love me more than these others do? How can we tell how much the others love Christ? We cannot, but we should all know. Everyone making the retreat, and myself included, should know how much we should love Christ. We've sinned, and our very sinfulness, our very sinful past, hear it, should be fuel for our confidence in God. Because the God whom we believe in, the God who became man to die on the cross out of love for us, loves us, and we use his vocabulary, loves us more because, and this is what our faith tells us, because we had sinned. That is the church's definition of mercy. Mercy is love for those who have offended you. Love becomes mercy when you love someone who does not love you. And that's all sin is. Is choosing our own wills contrary to the will of God. Why have confidence in God? Because is God as we are sure loves us. And the more we have sinned, what a statement, the more He loves us. Let me suggest some down-to-earth recommendations on how to grow in our practice of confidence. First, avoid worry at all costs. All we have to do, that's all, is be honest in telling God, I want to do your will. You know me better than I do. You tell the Lord, but honest to you, my God, I want to serve you. Given that precondition, every worry, and this is an infallible statement, every worry for those who want to do God's will is a temptation from the evil spirit. Christ, remember, told us, do not be afraid, nor let your hearts be troubled. In other words, do not worry. There is nothing, in my estimation, so bad in a spiritual life as not trusting God. No matter how distrustful we have been to God, no matter how distrustful others have been to us, second, and I'll keep repeating this, watch your thoughts. What we think determines what we are. We become what our minds make us. Think thoughts of confidence. Favor thoughts of trust. Encourage only thoughts that give you courage. I never tire repeating the most important single function of our free will is to master our thoughts. Those wild beasts roaming inside what we call our minds. There is no more important use we can make of our freedom than to watch our thoughts. Everything, comma, everything depends on our thoughts. Use your will to think thoughts that strengthen your trust and confidence in God. Whatever you find discouraging, anxiety-producing, worrisome, and hear it, no matter how holy that may be. And you're living, need I repeat it? You're living in that age of human history when by all human standards we should be crushed by the evil that is going on. Unless we have come in God, we will become victims of the specters of our own minds. These minds of ours, oh, what nightmares they can conjure up. Control your thoughts. And conversely, we should favor our mind by nourishing our thoughts with things that give us greater trust, peace, hope, confidence. I would even say, sift your prayers. Watch what you read. Now I add, avoid conversation with certain persons. Do not needlessly engage in conversation, or you know from experience, tends to discourage you. Third recommendation for going in this precious practice of confidence. Keep telling yourself there is no such thing as chance in the world. Keep reminding yourselves that God is behind everything. He is within everything. Beneath everything we casually say, as Catholics, we have picked up a pagan vocabulary, happens. I cannot overemphasize or repeat too often, nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens. Everything is part of the mysterious, loving providence of God. Oh, I like St. Paul's statement. All things work together unto good. However, there is a condition. All things work together unto good, provided we trust in God. We make mistakes. We do things that are wrong. Others make mistakes. Others commit sins. But God never makes a mistake. He never does anything that is wrong. Trust Him. In my estimation, this is the best test of confidence in God. To believe in Him so totally that we are sure, without wavering, that He uses our mistakes and those of others. Use our sins and those of others, hear it, for our own and other people's good. What faith this takes. One final thought. I call it my fourth recommendation. Tell God often you trust Him. I don't count the number of times each day I say, Jesus, I trust You. Over the years, I found it useful to have a little card near me, which are written the words, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in You. Telling you trust Him, and your prayer will be both an expression of your virtue, of hope, and a plea to sustain you, strengthen you in the trials that you have in your lives and I have in mine. And not only to survive under these trials, but to grow in our love for God, because He is providing us with a blessed opportunity of proving that we love Him. Lord Jesus, if there is one lesson you keep telling us in the Gospels, it is not to worry. But you know why we worry. Because, stupidly, we place our trust in ourselves and place our trust in other people. Dear Jesus, I trust in you. I know my confidence will never be betrayed because you are my God and you love me. Only God loves the creature who he brought out of nothing to show how much this creature trusts him. My God, I believe in you. My God, I trust in you. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.